All right, good morning. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher. And without further ado, joined by Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you guys.
Welcome.
It's nice. It's a good morning. It's been we do these walks. It's been a little warmer. This one's nice. Nice cool day.
Yeah, cool day. It's going to be 86. It's been a warm camp. Not too bad, but nice to get onto the fall weather. Feels a little more like football each and every day. So that's good. Easy to start with here. James Cook yesterday shows up street clothes, says business when asked why he's not taking part in practice. Was that a surprise to have that happen?
Yeah, you know, it's not something we were fully aware of until, you know, shortly before practice. And so, I get it. I understand it's the world we're in, I guess, of how players want to respond and things like that. You know, love James. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we want all our guys practicing. We know that. I mean, we got some guys out, you know, due to injuries or soft tissue and stuff like that. So we're trying to get as many guys on the practice field as we can and start preparing for this first preseason game. And hopefully we'll get him back out there soon. But, remains to be seen whether he's going to show it today or not.
When you spoke about him earlier at camp, I think a lot of people kind of came away with the tone that constant contact with him and his agent, with you and his agent, or your team and his agent, and it felt to me like there has been a dialogue, and Tom Pelissero reports that that is the case and that there's not been a breakdown. In fact, he says that it's not believed that things are too far apart with this.
Yeah, I mean, without getting into things, there's been constant communication with his agent, either with myself or Kevin Megank and with Jimbo. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I wish we weren't here. This is my ninth season here. We've never had a player miss due to a contract or anything like that, so that's disappointing for me. It's not something we want, not something we're looking forward to. But at the end of the day, it's, like I said earlier, it's kind of the – sometimes can be the way of the world, and so we'll deal with it the best we can. Like I said, hopefully, you know, I'd love to see Jimbo out there today. I don't know that answer at this point this morning. Whether that will happen or not, but if it's not today, hopefully tomorrow, and we'll keep trying to, or the next day. I think we got a day off, but hopefully get him back out there soon.
You mentioned it's almost incredible that it's been this long without something like this at a training camp here. Is that fair to say then that this has been one of your toughest negotiations since you've been the general manager?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. A lot of negotiations can be tough. I just think, you know, people choose to handle it how they choose, and we, you know, you guys have been around our program. We have a lot of, you know, really good guys that don't want to miss, and Jimbo doesn't want to miss. I know that, and so I'm sure it's painful for him to make that decision. And like I said, we'll continue the dialogue with, you know, with him, and hopefully, you know, get it resolved and get him back out there. Like I said, I'm practicing a couple hours. We'll see, you know, whether that's this morning or we'll, if not, we'll try again and get it back out for there for the next one.
We just had a call about this that, you know, some fans will think like, oh, this is a distraction in that it's eating up storylines, eating up, you know, airtime, headlines. But the call was about like the players and it being a distraction. And that always seems to me like players around the league especially are always very supportive of their teammates. Any distraction for the players or very much seems like that never bleeds into their work on the field, what's going on with James?
Yeah, I mean, our guys have been around. It feels like no matter what's going on, if that's not a distraction, then this can be a distraction. Like, you're only distracted if you let it be a distraction, and I think Sean does a good job of keeping these guys dialed in and focused, and I know that'll be the message. And, you know, Josh, you know, has been here so long, knows how we do things, and I know he'll make sure to keep that offense, and you know, those guys are the most affected, I guess, by, you know, Jimbo not being in there. And, you know, you almost have to, you know, trying to figure out how you treat it, you almost have to treat it like, you know, like it's an injury or whatever, even though it's, you know, like it's not. Hey, next man up, you know, Ray Davis, Ty Johnson, Darrington Evans, Frank Gore, like, you guys are up, take advantage of your opportunities. Let's spin a little bit of an annoyance into a positive.
Yeah. One thing, you know, as this conversation kind of percolates, and around the league this will happen, paying running backs. It's been like a buzz thing for probably 5-6 years in the NFL. And people might wonder if there's a philosophical value placed on the position? You know, sometimes you have a position or a value on a player. How about value on a position? And would you rule out the idea of big running back money, big money for contracts for a running back? Because that is something around the league that does get talked about quite a bit.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can go with it. At the end of the day, I don't think you can make, you know, just cold, hard decisions, hey, I don't pay running backs or I do pay running backs. I think every situation is its own, and so you're always trying with any deal, running back, receiver, linebacker, whatever it is, you're always trying to find what you think is the sweet spot that makes sense for you and for the player. You know, in this offseason, you know, we found it with pretty much everyone we tried to get a deal done. He was the one, and that's probably why we're at where we are. We got a lot of the deals done that, you know, that we tried, and it's well known we tried to get something done with Jimbo, and unfortunately, you know, it takes two, and both sides have to agree on what that number is, and obviously that hasn't gotten there, but I'm not sitting here saying you don't pay running backs. I think you just have to find what the sweet spot is. And, you know, you're paying Josh Allen. You're paying, you know, two tackles premium. You know, we're paying a lot of guys on this team. We paid Khalil Shakir. We brought in a Josh Punt. We're like, you're paying a lot of guys. So you can't pay everybody. And, you know, there's other guys that want to be paid that haven't been paid either. And, you know, that's sometimes a decision. We've seen, you know, unfortunately, a Tremaine Edmonds have to leave, you know, a Gabe Davis. You name the player, you'd love to keep them all, especially when you draft them like those guys and like James. You know, we've drafted him, we've developed him, and he's done a great job developing himself. You would love nothing more than to keep him, but I got to make sure it fits under the whole umbrella, not look at each deal in a silo.
Bills GM Brandon Bean joining us here.
On Cook, just going back to even when you picked him and how he's developed. I remember you used the term subback, I think, at the night that you drafted him. Mm-hmm. And that was right after the J.D. McKissic thing, so that would have made sense for the team at that time. Did he even surprise you with the full skill set maybe that he's developed and the runner that he has become? Or did you think even then maybe like subback was what he was in the immediate, but that there was more in there that he's kind of, you know, fully formed, turned into it?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you know, college is a projection business, right? That guys, how some guys are used in college is, you know, you see different ways they're used in the pros. Some are used exactly the same. But at Georgia, you know, they had another back there as well. And so James wasn't even the starter. He was more in that sub role and really liked what he did. But he didn't get a lot of opportunities as an inside runner here. So we knew at a minimum, we felt we strongly had a sub back, a guy that we could develop more in the passing game, saw his workout, thought he had good enough hands to help us do that. Obviously, the speed is there. That's what showed, you know, in SEC play. But to his credit, I think he's really, you know, learned how to become an inside runner and be a threat there where, you know, that makes him more dangerous because, you know, the defense doesn't know that it's automatically a perimeter run or some type of passing play when he's in the game. It makes it, you know, I guess at the end of the day, it gives Joe Brady more options with him. And so that's why we've moved him into that role. And like I said, had a really good year last year and going into year four. And like I said, we'll see if we can get something done. If not, you know, he knows that we would try again after the season. And so just if we don't get something done now doesn't mean that we can't, you know, get him before he's free agent.
One of your stated goals this offseason was to bolster your defense through free agency, through the draft. How early can you see returns on that? I mean, it's training camp. You've seen mini camps, but you're getting to know these players, whether it's Maxwell Harrison out with a knee injury, TJ Sanders, Landon Jackson, on and on. You know, looking at the group as a whole, how early do you feel like you can get a feel for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's still very early. It is. I think, you know, Saturday against the Giants, you know, just getting different competition, going against different guys. You've been going against these same guys, even though it's not been in pads since, you know, late May and through early June. And I mean, we've only had so many padded practices just by the way the ramp up process is in the NFL. And so we're still learning them, but I mean, it's nice to see some of the different things, the different nuances that a TJ Sanders brings versus a Deion Walker versus a Michael Hoyt. Obviously, Joey Bosa is the most well-known name that we added. But what we tried to do was just kind of refresh, you know, kind of replenish this group, make some tweaks, and add as many different options to give Sean McDermott, Bobby Babich, you know, and our defensive line coaches different ways how we play. You know, if we're getting a team that is just going to air it out, having as many options to get after the passer, but if we have teams that want to, you know, line it up and run it north and south on us, that we can anchor down in there and stop the run. You know, that's ultimately, you can have as many pass rushers as you want. If you can't stop the run, it's hard to get to third and long and let those guys pin their ears back.
You know, you say different there. It was more than just, you know, refreshing the defense. It was about actually changing the amount of things you were able to do?
Yeah. I mean, I think just trying to – you know, one of the things that we tried to add some more interior rush. You know, it's hard inside to, you know, for an offense if you're facing two interior rushers. And because if you got one guy in there, let's just say Ed Oliver's been one of our better interior rushers. You got one, they can turn the protection to him and put two on him, and then your other guy's got a single. We need that single to win, whether that's a guy that we bring, you know, that's a, you know, plays in on base downs and reduces inside on sub downs, or a guy like a TJ Sanders, guys like that that can rush inside. Hoyt's done some stuff and the Rams, how they've used him. And we think we got, you know, we've added a variety of pieces that Bobby and Sean can use depending on the matchups that we have.
Bills GM Brandon Bean with us for a few more minutes here. There's a lot of like talk around the league, star players around the league that you'll see reports that they're asking for a trade. Some of them are even writing it themselves. Is it nearly impossible for you or other contending teams to pursue top players like that at this time of the year specifically? Like when you see a top player becomes available in training camp, you've already had your offseason. Like, is it almost kind of a non-starter just because of the time of the year, or is there still a little bit of flexibility for you and for other teams in this cap situation?
Yeah, I mean, each team's got its own situation, and it's more than, you know, a lot of times people say this, you know, this is how you could make this happen. Trade this guy, do this, convert these two players, and you can get them in 25. But the problem is, what does 26 look like and what does 27? You would hate to make a move like that and you're going, man, I got 25, worry about 26 later. That's easier said than done. So it is very hard when you're talking about, whether you're talking about premium pass rushers or big-time receivers or whatever position, you know, you're talking about, it's very hard, you know, to pay a guy 30, 35, 40, 45 million, whatever, you know, these players are asking for. That's separate of what you got to give up, whatever assets those are, whether it's players' picks. The cap is probably the biggest issue. I mean, we're always going to be tight around here when you're paying Josh and the guys that we're paying to protect him and then get after the other team's passers, the rushers that we've tried to put together.
Bills GM Brandon Bean joining us here on WGR. Keon Coleman, he's one of your healthy receivers at this point. We've got to talk receiver at some point, right? That's what we're going to do. Keon Coleman's healthy. That's the good news. Have you seen a response from him?
Yeah.
Like you've wanted?
Yeah. I think I've been really – you know, and it's not just here. Like, I've seen it all off season. I think he came back, you know, his agent, and I've developed a pretty decent relationship. I knew him but didn't know him very well before we drafted Keon. And so he's one of those agents that, you know, he gave Keon his opinion too of, hey, these are the things I see that can help you. And so Keon and him and us had a, you know, kind of – what his plan would be. These are the areas that we want you to attack in the off season. And I was getting a lot of videos of him training and doing things, and you could just see over time, like, him beefing up a little bit, just growing in his body. Like I said, he was 21 when we took him, so he's not a fully grown man yet, even though he's a big guy. But he worked his butt off all spring, and I think we saw it from the minute he walked in the door at you know, in late April and through OTAs. And but he's still working into that player. He's still a young guy, and it's not going to be perfect. We shouldn't expect him to look like a five-year vet at this point, but I'm pleased with who he is. He's playing stronger, he's playing sturdier, he's obviously getting even more chemistry with Josh. I just, unfortunately, when the wrist deal happened last year, you know, the offense has to keep rolling. It sometimes it can be hard to work someone back in. It wasn't like we weren't scoring a lot of points with him out. And so I think all that combined with just, you know, how we were playing and how he was trying to learn to play with, you know, whatever soreness remained, he just wasn't able to make the same impact that he was making prior to the injury.
when it comes to that offense, you know, a lot of points. We talked with Joe Brady, and he sat here and said he's got to find a way to get better. And, you know, thinking about the things he wants to get better, he was a little bit reluctant to say what it was. He's like, I don't tell anybody out there what we're going to do. But are there small things, small goals, like things to sustain? Because, you know, it's a high standard that offense last year did set. And trying to get back there, of course, has got to be a goal and even pushing beyond.
Yeah. I mean, you said it, Jeremy. I think, you know, ultimately it's, you know, to have the points that we put up and the yards and then have that few turnovers, that was really impressive. That's hard to do. Sometimes it can even just be, you know, a fumble that, you know, we were able to get back on that we didn't lose. But I thought Josh did an excellent job of still playing free like we want him to play, not playing conservative, yet still taking care of the football. And, you know, our running backs did an excellent job of not losing fumbles. So from that standpoint, you know, turnovers are key. You look at how many turnovers we created on defense versus how many, you know, our ratio. That was a huge – if you just look every year, there's all these analytic stats that people run and all this stuff. If you just go pull up every week once you've had 3 or 4 weeks and just start watching every week and look at the teams that are way in the plus category of turnovers versus the guys who are – or the teams that are negative – go look at the win-loss column. It's crazy. You know, again, we got all these advanced metrics and stats, but that one is as true as can be to team success and wins and losses. So it's, you know, I would love if you would just say, hey, you can repeat what you did last year. I would take it right now. You always want to try and refine things and get better, and that will be the goal. But what, you know, how it all played out was a really strong performance by Joe Brady and Josh and crew.
Max Harrison, one of those players you're kind of counting on for takeaways, and a setback for him. But of course, I mean, how big was the exhale when it came back? Like, all right, it's not, you know, worst case scenario.
Yeah, huge exhale. You know, you hear non-contact. I did not see it. It was on the other field when they were doing individual. So I didn't hear about it till literally probably a quarter of the way through practice, through team periods. Nate Bresky came over and told me, and man, just, you know, lump in my throat the rest of practice, hard to focus, you know, just, and, you know, went in and checked on him. We sent him back to Buffalo to get all the MRIs and all the images that was needed. So to get that call that later that night to, you know, his ACL was intact and that what it was. And yeah, huge relief. It obviously stinks. You know, I think Sean mentioned it and I agree. It's kind of like the Cole Bishop thing a little bit a year ago, missing a lot of unfortunate reps. There's no great time to get injured. There's not. But to miss, like, right when you're getting into true padded football really stinks. But Maxwell is such a positive young man. I mean, I saw his parents at the Red-Blue game, and they were definitely relieved, too, at the situation. And everyone's supporting him. He's once he learned what the injury, he's just still had that smile on his face. I think that's who he's always going to be. It's funny how – you know, from when Tre'Davious was here, when you first got him, how many similarities there are. And Tre'Davious was doing a great job, and I'm sure he'll pick it up when Max gets back, of kind of putting his arm around him and kind of showing him the ropes. And so we'll support him. He'll obviously be behind, so we'll have decisions to make when we get to the start of the season where that, you know, puts him.
Quickly on Trey, all accounts out here are that he looks good, like really good.
Yeah, he's done a great job. Really proud of him. And just it's been fun to see that jovial Trey, just excited, you know, hopefully past all those injuries. You know, by the time he left here, it had been two straight years. And when you have season-ending injuries like he did, that can just, you know, take its toll on you. This is frustrating. These guys pour everything, you know, into their craft, into their, you know, and it's not just them. It's their whole family feels the weight of what's going on in their world. And so to see him just happy and free, obviously went to two different places last year. And, you know, when he came back, just a hug, man. It's, you know, it's great to be home. And just you love to hear that about your guys. You know, the business is the business. Sometimes guys are going to leave, but you love it. You know, we've had players, him and, you know, Jordan Phillips, some of the others that have gone away and come back. And so it's been fun to watch him play. And, you know, we're gonna need him, you know, to help us over there opposite Christian.
And then on one more in the secondary, on Cole Bishop, who's dealt with a little injuries here through training camp. And obviously there was an injury last year for him. His availability, injuries, is that kind of the one thing you feel like that I won't say it's a concern, because otherwise you guys would have an expectation for him to take a step into year two.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he had a really good spring, and, you know, again, fortunately this time it wasn't what last year was to, you know, miss a month or so, whatever that ended up being. So hopefully get him back here real soon. You know, I don't know that we can get him back in time to play this week or not. I'm not sure where that'll be. It'll probably be close, but I think we'll get him back out there soon. And he was doing really good, and I thought him and T-Rap, you know, were pairing well together. But it'll still be a battle. He's got to go out and prove it, not only in practice, but once he can get in these preseason games, if not this week, you know, hopefully that Bears week.
And finally, before I let you go, goal for the year. I mean, we're talking the margins, right? It's small. I kind of want to make golf analogies to you, because that's how we talk a lot. But, like, it's the littlest bit to finish it. So, like, does it ever get – I mean, how frustrating does it get? How motivating is it to get that last little bit?
Yeah, listen, when you lose that last game, it's a kick in the teeth. There's no other way to say it. It hurts you. It breaks you down. You feel tears in your eyes. You feel like you let – you know, not only your family, but you let the city down and Western New York. That's the God's honest truth. It is painful, but I am one of those ones. I'm not going to sit there and mourn. I'm going to figure this thing out, and I'm going to keep swinging the sword. And as long as Terry Pegula will let me swing it, and we're going to figure it out. And I'm not going to give in. Like, we are going to keep, you know, I think I said it at that one of the pressers, whether it was the one right after the season, but we're going to keep kicking the door in. We're going to keep it kicking, and at some point knock it down and get it done. And, you know, I'm not deterred or anything like that. This is a hard league as a whole. Obviously, the AFC is stacked, and, you know, it's always going to be a gauntlet. That's the challenge of it. This is a hard league. That's why so many fans love it. And that's why it's so hurtful when you go as far as we've gone for so many years. I say it all the time. The further you go, the worse it hurts. So I can't sit here and say, you know, it doesn't sting. It doesn't, you know, punish me. And I don't just want to, you know, curl up in the fetal position and cry my eyes out. But at the end of the day, it's how you got to get back on that horse, rebuild what you need to do, get your staff. This is how we're going to do this. Get everyone in alignment and start the journey immediately on, you know, at this point, 2025.
Bill Sheehan, Brandon Bean. Any questions for us? Yeah, what do we miss?
I don't know. I want to know who's got the low score between you guys out here.
He said we played a couple weeks ago. If I beat him that day, I would be officially declared better than him at golf. Yeah, and he made a 50-foot putt to beat me at 18.
That is true. That did happen.
I kind of feel like is a little lucky.
50-footer, pin in, pin out.
I feel like I still should get to claim it. It took a 50-footer.
It was a JJ Spawn bomb. It was like
pin was in, I think, too. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't play enough. The tales of your golf exploits, I mean, you know, there's a buzz around camp about how your game is these days. So
yeah,
you know, who gives you the best fight on the team?
Good question. I mean, Josh probably is the most, because he does all the smack talking while he's out there. He wants to make sure you know how far he can hit it. But we didn't get to play as much this year, unfortunately. Maybe only played once because of his wedding and stuff like that.
That would make sense.
Couple priorities above golf.
He was busy.
You know, life keeps getting in the way of golf. Yeah. I'm running into that as well. All right, well, thanks for going so long with us here. We kept you for a while, and appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Brian.
Good to see you guys.
Bill's GM, Brandon Bean here from St. John Fisher on WGR.